Happy Challengers Day, no film school listeners. This is Gigi Hawkins. And if you've been anticipating Luca Guadagnino's return to the big screen as much as I have, then this is the episode for you. And if you haven't, well, stop everything you're doing and go watch a bunch of his movies. Okay. Maybe I'm being a little dramatic here. You don't have to have seen everything he's made, though you're probably familiar with things including Call Me By Your Name, Bones and All, one of my favorites, A Bigger Splash. This is a great podcast for talking about the writing and screenwriting story formulating process, because this week I sit down with Justin Kuritskis, the screenwriter who kicked off this mad dash whirlwind character stakes and tension driven film, Challengers. Challengers stars Zendaya as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach and a force of nature who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court. Married to a champion on a losing streak, played by Mike Feist of West Side Story, Tashi's strategy for her husband's redemption takes an unexpected turn when he must face off against the washed-up Patrick, played by Josh O'Connor from The Crown. These guys used to be best friends. Patrick used to be Tashi's boyfriend. As their pasts and presents collide, and they ask themselves, what will it cost to win? And today, Justin and I talk about how you craft a story with such high tension, high stakes, even when the stakes outside of this bubble of the story aren't really that high. We talk about the seed of the idea, how working with Luca, Zendaya, heads of departments let the script serve as a blueprint of this world of competitive tennis, and it developed into something entirely different, this entire universe, because of all these stakeholders involved, and how, similar to the Big Bang, once he figured out the characters of this trio, the whole thing exploded into a freaking awesome story. Listen to this conversation, see the movie, read the script, which you can find online, and you've got yourself an excellent study of how to write a damn good movie. And now, my interview with Justin Kuritskis. Hi, I'm Gigi. I am with No Film School, and I'm excited to speak with you about the film and the script, Justin. Thanks for doing this.
Of course, thank you.
Okay. Well, we are going to go into the craft of writing. We're very craft focused and we're reaching our emerging filmmakers. And congratulations on making Phil's Tire Town Challenger the most high stakes sports moment I've ever experienced in a movie. Yeah,
that means a lot. Thank you.
It's a masterclass, this script and the film in building tension and crafting characters that make each other tick. And we were able to get our hands on a version of the screenplay that's on the internet. And it was so interesting to see how it started and where it ended. So this is your first original screenplay, but you have a ton of experience writing story as a playwright and novelist. What was the biggest challenge when it came to writing for the screen?
Well, I think who you are as a storyteller and the kind of characters that interest you and the kind of stories that you're drawn to, that stays pretty consistent across mediums. The thing about screenwriting is that it's such a rigidly formalistic medium and you have no real estate. You know, it's all, you've got no room to do anything that's not pushing the story forward or revealing something about a character. So there's not a lot of time to luxuriate in anything. So I think it helped having a pretty firm understanding of myself as a writer before I submitted my voice to that process, you know, into that form. Because I think, you know, a screenplay kind of operates on two levels. There's one level of it, which is supposed to be a exciting and meaningful reading experience and is supposed to help the reader see the movie on the page. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to figure out the movie as you're writing it and you're trying to make yourself see it, but you're also trying to make the screenplay serve as an invitation to people to make it with you, you know? Mm-hmm. So there is an aspect of a screenplay at first that is really meant to get somebody excited about making the movie because they feel like they've watched it when they read it.
Yeah.
But then a screenplay, once you're actually making the movie, turns into this very practical document that's going to be used by hundreds of people across, you know, dozens of different fields who are going to use your screenplay as a blueprint to figure out how they're going to do their jobs every day. And that, as somebody who had never been on a film set, you know, or never been on, never worked on a film set.
Yeah.
That was something that I had to learn really quick. You know, thankfully, because of the people who I was making the movie with, everybody who was there was the best in the world at their job, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember even like, I mean, this is so embarrassing, but our aide, Kim Winther, who's a sort of like, you know, veteran and legend and an amazing assistant director, he had to teach me how to lock the pages in Final Draft. Because that was just never relevant to me before. You know, I never had a use for that. And I was submitting rewrites to him and he would be like, hold on, all the page numbers got changed.
Yeah, yeah. And that this is set off an entire...
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. This is procedurally, this is a nightmare. So he was like, okay, okay. And he, you know, showed me how to do it. So stuff like that was definitely a quick learning curve.
I'd love to hear about the sort of development process or how the script evolved from, you know, your original blueprint piece to what we see on the screen. I was actually surprised to read how close the structure in terms of the timeline and hopping back and forth to these different periods, how close that was to the original. But there's these amazing flourishes that are in the final product. For example, there's this advertisement for a fancy car that Tashi and Art are in. And that's something that feels like so obviously part of this world that you built out as a foundation, but it's a flourish or a discovery, or I've heard the word evidence, in something found in evidence. So I'm curious, like, were you writing out more of the world once you had all these folks on board to be developing it, or and what was that process like?
Well, one of the really amazing things about Luca is that he wanted me to be there all throughout pre-production and all throughout production. He kind of insisted on it. And, you know, that's not always the norm, but I had nothing to compare it to. So that just kind of felt natural to me, especially coming from theater. You know, playwrights are in the rehearsal room all the time. That's kind of how it goes. So I was really excited to do that. And the way that Luca would run a production meeting is that he would have all the department heads there and we would just read through the script. And every time somebody had a question or he had a question, he would stop and go, why is it like this? You know, why is he driving that car? Why is he wearing that shirt? Why is it this time of day? And so when you have, you know, amazing costume designers and production designers and props people who are asking the kinds of, like, they have infinite curiosity about the world because they want to make the world as rich as they possibly can.
Yeah. You know?
So we had like hours long discussions about the kind of rackets they should use.
Right, right.
And then we had a whole discussion about what brands they should be sponsored by at different points in their lives, you know? So all of that really plays into how the script morphs as you're going from something that's meant to exist on the page and help people visualize it there to all of a sudden something that's going to be built up in the real world.
Yeah.
When it comes to the stuff like the advertisement and all of that, it was something that we realized really early on, which was that the world of professional sports is a world of brands.
Yeah.
You know, brands are everywhere. Everything is branded. That's how money flows in sports. And so as much of that stuff as we could put into the movie, we wanted to, because it makes it feel real.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I love how one of the first descriptions of the character Patrick describes, and this is a character who is sort of, when we meet him, he's not in his prime, and he has a sort of mishmash of brands, which speaks to exactly where he stands in the world of tennis at that very moment. And from that, you know, the people who you are working with were able to excavate and build out from there. Let's go back to the beginning and the point of inspiration, though. Before you're at these table reads with the team, with these various heads of departments, but the inspiration for the script came from you sort of happening upon a video of Serena Williams and Naomi Osaka playing in 2019. What spoke to you or what stuck with you seeing that match, and how did you start to develop the story from there?
Well, I was watching it live. Not in person, but I was, you know, I happened to just turn on the US Open in the summer of 2018. And it was this moment where the match was at this very tense, you know, close point, and it was anyone's match. And Serena Williams received this penalty from the umpire where he said that she had received coaching from the sidelines. And I, prior to this, was not a massive tennis fan, so I'd never heard of that rule. But still, it immediately struck me as really cinematic, that you're all alone on the tennis court and there's one other person in this massive stadium who cares as much about what happens as you do, but you can't talk to them. And what if you really had to talk about something? And what if it was something beyond tennis and, you know, beyond sports? It was something about your lives. Mm-hmm. And what if it involved the person across the court? You know,
yeah.
How would you have that conversation? And how could you communicate all of the tension and drama of that situation using the tools that are specific to film, you know, mm-hmm. because it was so clear in that first impulse that this couldn't be anything other than a movie, you know, that
right.
The only way you could do that situation justice is through looking, you know,
yeah.
through point of view and through geometry, through, you know, through placement of character.
Yeah.
And so that was really, that was sort of lodged in my mind. And then I started thinking about the movie, and on a parallel track, I started watching a lot of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly I just became a really obsessive tennis fan, you know?
Yeah.
And almost didn't even want to write the movie because I just wanted to be a tennis fan.
You were worried it would ruin it for you?
Yeah, and it did to some extent. Like it pollutes it a little bit because
yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's work. I there was a point where tennis was so deeply enjoyable to me, and I was getting so much drama and so much pleasure out of it
yeah.
that it was the only thing I wanted to watch. But the benefit of that was that it led me to watching these low-level matches because I wanted to watch everything I could get my hands on.
Yeah,
and that's when I became aware of the Challenger Tour, which is like. You know, it's the lowest rung of the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And you're playing with people who are ranked 100 or 200 in the world. So they're still like better than anyone.
Really good.
Yeah, they're still the best in the world. But basically no one cares, mm-hmm. right? No one's really showing up. And they're playing for not a lot of money and not a lot of ranking points. And that world felt really exciting to me as a place to set a sports movie
mm-hmm.
because the stakes could be about what's going on with them personally.
Right.
And not about winning Wimbledon, you know?
Which honestly was so refreshing to watch it. I was like, oh, and then they're going to end up at the US Open. But then when we're back at, and I won't say too much more, but like being able to come back to certain parts was very, I became more and more invested. I mean, it was so great. I am curious, you know, often when you're writing a screenplay or writing any story at all, you know, you have elements that you're drawn to. So in this case, you were fascinated by this world and these power structures, but you also have to figure out what is the right story for this environment? And,
yeah.
And there has to be, I think, a reason why for it to work. And often if you can't answer that, that might leave the audience feeling like just, you know, meh about something. So I'm curious about your process breaking the story for this particular movie, this particular world. And if you're comfortable telling us maybe a version of the story that you kind of explored, but ended up not going down.
Oh, interesting. I mean, it's hard to trace back before the characters came in, you know, because once the characters sort of announced themselves, they're like, all of a sudden, everything that existed before then is like it's like the Big Bang, you know, it's
yes.
Like, once the character is there, you're sort of like, and now there's light, you know?
Yes, yes.
So it's really hard to remember like who I was before they were there. They presented themselves to me really early on.
Mm.
And then the movie really became about how do I fill in what I don't know about these people? You know, I knew that they were on this tennis court with all this tension between them. I knew that they were looking at each other like this match mattered more than anything in the world. And I knew that it was taking place at this low-level, nothing tournament. The rest of it, I didn't know. And that was the stuff that I discovered along the way. But I even had some specific you know, moments that I knew were going to happen, or images or gestures or all that kind of stuff. And I was really building a story towards that. But there was a lot of surprises along that path.
Do you feel comfortable speaking to a surprise that might be earlier in the film?
Yeah, I do. I'm just trying to I can tell a moment that surprised me that, okay. That I figured out as I was writing it, which was, there's this scene where we see Patrick, who he needs a place to stay for the night. And he's on Tinder, swiping right on everybody, just hoping that he can, you know, land somebody and have a couch or a bed to sleep.
Yeah.
And I didn't know when I started writing the scene of Patrick on the date that the date was at the hotel that Tashi and Art were staying at.
Mm-hmm.
Going to show up, and that's how they were going to see each other. But then as I was there and writing it, I was like, oh, they're in a fancy hotel. Tashi's here, you know? And so that was a moment that I discovered as I was doing it.
How satisfying is that when you make
those are, that's the only satisfying part of writing on the day-to-day level, you know?
Yeah. Now, we're kind of geeks here at No Film School. We like to talk about process. Often, you know, we'll talk with our DPs about the tools that they use. What is your process for writing, just from like a day-to-day perspective? What tools are you using? When are you writing? How long does it take you to get to a draft? How many drafts are you doing?
It changes a lot. With this movie, I thought about it for a long time before I started writing it. Once I actually started, like, you know, putting it in final draft, mm-hmm. it came out in a couple months, you know, in like 2 or 3 months, a draft. And then there was a lot of like printing out that draft and going through it with a red pen and rewriting it again. And then, you know, finally, after a lot of that, ending up with a version of it that I felt comfortable showing people. So, yeah, I mean, but I don't have a set schedule for how I write or when I write, mostly just because life doesn't make that possible all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, especially when you're busy, you have to get really comfortable writing in hotel rooms and in airplanes. And, you know, I've written a lot in like cars, like I wrote a lot in like the scout van, you know,
yeah.
We were scouting for Challengers. So yeah, I'm pretty agnostic when it comes to all of that, but I generally write on my computer in final draft, and that's how I get a screenplay out. Yeah.
When you were figuring out the way to structure this movie, did you always know that it would be a situation where you were moving through time and jumping around, or did you write a version that was more linear?
No, I always knew that it was going to be structured basically the way that it is, because the desire to write the movie presented itself like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the desire to write the movie came from me watching tennis and feeling so invested in it and so energized by it, more than I was being energized by movies or TV. You know, mm-hmm. It was getting so much more from it than I was getting from all this stuff that I supposedly love and that I spend my life working on, you know?
Right, right.
And it's not because that stuff was bad. It's because tennis is so good.
Right.
So I started asking, okay, what could I write that would be as exciting as tennis, and what would make tennis even better? And for me, the answer to that question was, it would be even better if I could know at every moment what was at stake. What was really at stake for each player, you know, and for the people watching. And so I kind of knew that the structure of the movie was going to be that we were dropped into a tennis match,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what was at stake. And then gradually we were going to find out. And the stakes of the match would be amped up by what we were seeing, and the stakes of what was going on personally with them would be amped up by the match.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, before I started really writing, that was something I already kind of knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that structure was built into the DNA. And the characters, you know, you mentioned that before these characters, it was before the Big Bang and then there was light. What changed, or when you knew who was going to be playing these characters, how did that inform the revisions that you were doing from that point on?
It informs it a lot. I mean, you know, you cast because you think someone's going to be perfect for the character that's already there. You know, in the case of Tashi, for example, you know, I don't write with actors in mind unless it's something that they're bringing to me for them to do. And this was something I wrote on spec. So I had no reason to believe that the people who play these characters were gonna play them. Mm-hmm. But once I finished the script and I was thinking about who could be Tashi, it's really hard to think about anyone besides Zendaya who can do it. Mm-hmm. So she was already so tuned into this character.
Yeah.
But she had so many really smart insights about who Tashi was, you know, and a lot of that would play itself out in the costumes and in, you know, how she would dress herself, the life she would build for herself. Mm-hmm. Because so much of Tashi is about this world that she's created for herself in art, you know, mm-hmm. this world that she was supposed to have for herself that she now has with her husband.
Yeah.
And so the aesthetics of that world are very important, you know, mm-hmm. and Zendaya had really specific ideas about that. One really specific thing, note she had on the script, which I thought was brilliant, was that originally they had been traveling with a nanny for the kid.
Yeah.
And Zendaya said, I think she would have her family there. I think it would be like her mom.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought that was brilliant. And so the mom is a character in the movie now, you know, because
of which I love,
which makes sense, right? It makes it feel so much realer in a way that, yeah, that she, of course she would have her mom watch after her kid, you know? So yeah. And that speaks so much to where Tashi's coming from and where art's coming from, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that stuff like that would happen every once in a while. And that's a really amazing moment where you get to have the people who are making this with you really influence it.
Yeah. Now that the film is, by the time this podcast is released, out in the world, have you said goodbye to these characters? Like, you've lived with them for so long. Does it feel like you've had closure with them? Or what is it like to, like, put them to bed?
I mean, in a way, it feels like they're just starting to exist because people are just starting to meet them.
Yeah.
And you get to experience them again with other people. Mm-hmm. I honestly felt like that more once we had locked picture, you know, once I saw the final edit, and then I was like, okay, I've moved on. But now that we're sharing it with people and I'm watching it in, you know, theaters full of people, mm-hmm. It kind of feels like they are alive again for me. So that's exciting.
That's so exciting.
I'm probably not going to watch it that many more times, you know, but so I, in some sense, I've already like totally moved on from them. And in another sense, I'm having a nice little reunion with them.
Yeah. Now, as we wrap up here, what advice do you have for emerging filmmakers, specifically emerging screenwriters, especially folks who are interested in telling stories that are pushing boundaries and digging into the darkest of characters?
Well, I think you're an expert in the kind of movies you like. Mm-hmm. And so much of writing an original screenplay is making it easy for people to see the movie on the page, you know, making people feel like they have watched the movie when they read the script.
Yeah.
And in order to get there, or at least I found that it was about being really honest with myself as I was writing, whether this was still the movie I was dreaming about, you know, like that's kind of constantly checking in with myself about that. So I think you don't have any information besides what's going on with you when you're writing and when you're reading, you know, the thing you've written. And so if you can see it on the page, and if you feel like you're watching the movie when you're writing it, hopefully other people will feel that way too. And that's kind of all you have to go on.
I love that. That's great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for opening up about your process. I'm so excited for the film to be in the world, and I'm excited to talk about these characters with everyone. It's very hard being press where you have to like sit on it for 2 weeks and you only get to geek out occasionally. But congratulations.
Thank you a lot. Thank you so much. This was so fun. Thanks.
Take care. Thank you so much, Justin, for joining us and for really drilling down into your process. It's so generous when somebody opens up like this and is just honest about what it takes to do the work to get here. I'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What did you find helpful? What was inspiring? What was something that you will take into your very own writing and or filmmaking process? Of course, you can see Challengers starting today, April 26, 2024, in theaters. And you can like, rate, and subscribe to the No Film School podcast across all platforms. You can also get more No Film School at No Film School on social media. And you can email us podcast@nofilmschool.com to tell us what you thought of this episode, this interview. Come to us with your questions, the things that keep you up at night, as long as they're related to film. Thanks again.